Everybody, welcome back to The Why. I'm your host, Dylan Malls, presented by All American Roof Pros, All American Harsh Studios. I'm sitting down with a good friend, Katie Badami, as I originally found out it's actually pronounced.
Oh, yes, that is how you pronounce it.
I'll say Badami for like the longest time.
Everybody does. It's okay.
So we're super excited to get her to sit down. How we met is weird.
It is very weird.
Like the intertwining of everything. We kind of go into that here, but kind of like give me the elevator pitch. Like if I was just to meet you for the first time, who are you? All that good stuff. Like, just kind of give the audience.
I've always struggled with an elevator pitch, but I mean, what you see is what you get with me. I'm a very honest, very passionate person with anything I do. You'll always get 150%, 200%. But I don't really, an elevator pitch. I can't.
Well, like, personal life. I know you got a daughter.
Yes, I have. I say partner, and my girlfriend always gets really mad at me. But I have a girlfriend. She has a daughter. I have a daughter. They're 12 and 14. My daughter, 12, being in seventh grade. She's involved in sports. In the fall, she's a dual sport athlete, so she does volleyball and cross country.
That's awesome.
Winter, she's in basketball, and then she's going to be a track runner. So she's built to be a runner, but she likes volleyball. Why, I don't know. But she's also in JO volleyball, so she does that as well. So
I got travel league for
one. Yeah, and it's very demanding. Jeez.
All those travel leagues are. I struggle. I mean, we have a similar background that you then that background in coaching. I have a background in coaching. I always struggled with that extracurricular stuff to a degree because, like, if the kid's super passionate about it, do it, right? But then you get that struggle where, like, if the parent is the one pushing it.
And I think that's where I'm at right now. So, I was a three-sport athlete. I was very competitive. I was very athletic. And I was just passionate with everything I did in school. And I'm trying to, like, portray that onto her. And
you have to be careful.
You have to be very careful. And I struggle with it. So, I have to sometimes pull back. But you know, sometimes I think, are all these AAU and JO things really necessary? I mean, I didn't do all that. I went out and ran outside and played in my driveway. And, you know, I didn't do all that. And I was very successful. So I don't know. It's 50-50. It's very hard to balance because everybody's doing it.
Yeah,
and it's like, do you do what everybody else is doing or do you trust your gut?
Yeah.
And
yeah, because like, I mean, obviously my wife and I are in the process. Well, in the process. The baby's on the way.
you're not in the process. The baby is on their way. The
baby's on the way and all that good stuff. So, like, we were just having this conversation the other day. Like, we want our kids to have the experiences that we had growing up, the playing in the dirt. Mm-hmm. And, like, my wife got to have some weird experiences with her family being in the horse industry. So, she got to travel a lot and do that. But, like, I didn't do any of the travel ball stuff. My brothers did because they were almost in that different generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my parents had me when they were 20. Like, they were doing good to put food on the table.
So. Yeah, and that's how it was. But I always tell my daughter, you know, you have no idea what it's like. Like, she wants me to go outside and play basketball with her. I said, do you think grandma and grandpa came outside to play basketball with me? No, I went outside and played basketball by myself or found the neighborhood kids to play. But it's the problem with technology and being connected to that phone. They don't know how to get dirty and dirt anymore.
And they don't. And that's what... Like, that's the issue with, like, raising kids in today's world is, like, you don't want them to be focused on the likes and the social media and what everybody's saying on the internet because it's irrelevant.
Yeah, but you can't avoid it. It's
it's coming. It's like AI. It's coming, right?
Yes, it's coming.
But regardless, I mean, that is a power struggle, right? Like,
it's very hard to pair anymore with technology and social media.
Yeah, because she's going to see all her friends doing AAU, travel, volleyball, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a struggle for you as a parent because you want to provide them everything. But at the same time, those struggles are what made us who we are, you know? And that's where I have a power struggle.
You know what I struggle with? Because she's in AAU volleyball right now. I was an avid basketball player. Basketball was my sport. Yep. And coaching, that was my sport to coach. But when I did play AAU basketball, so for 1 year we had a team, but I was so passionate that I was making sure that I was going to be on that floor. I was a starter. I don't see that with her, which really irritates and bothers me. And so when I'm paying all this money and you're not pushing yourself to be the best that you can be to make sure that you're in that starting lineup or you're a front row player or a back row player, I just struggle with it. And then we get into arguments and it's just not a good thing. So.
No, and it's a struggle too, because like you want what's best for her. And I think what's most aggravating, like with kids in that circumstance is one you're describing, like, you know, she has the talent.
She has the talent. Yeah. And I don't, my kid, Olivia is her name. She's a fantastic kid. I mean, she's
a great kid. Yeah.
She's a straight A student. I mean, at six, I raised her to be independent. So she's a very independent person. She's a great kid. I am trying to push her to be like I was. And that's where I'm struggling with trying to, how far do I push her? When do I step back? When do I let her be who she is? And it's a struggle. It's what I struggle with internally. But no, she's a great kid. I don't want anybody to get the impression that she is not, because she is.
No, and I don't doubt it for a second. And I don't want anybody at home to think so. But why do you think that we have that happen, you know, as individuals? Because it happens more than it does, I feel like.
I really think it's because we didn't have the technology that we have today. Our faces weren't stuck looking at something, and the demand of seeing it on social media and, you know, just all the different aspects that come into social media. We didn't have it. We had to go outside and entertain ourselves. Well, right now, kids have something to sit in on the couch and entertain themselves with. It's a device, and it's hard to pull them away from it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, like if they're not in it, then they're left out from society.
Right. So my thing with my daughter was, when you get into seventh grade, you can have a phone because you'll be a three-sport athlete, and you must be a three-sport athlete in order to get a phone. Well, sixth grade came along and she was one of the last people in her friends group to have a phone. And I said, well, I don't care. I don't care. You know, I'm that parent. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Like, but I said,
your to her, was jumping off the bridge. You
know. And that's what I said to her. I said, if somebody was going to go drink alcohol, are you going to drink alcohol? Are you going to take the risk of getting arrested? Like, we won't do things just because everybody else is doing them. But I said, okay, fine. You be a manager for all three sports. I will get you a phone. And that's what she did.
So she's driven.
She is driven. Yes.
When it's what she wants.
It's what she wants. Yes. When it's not what I want. Yes. She is driven. So
that's where the power struggle really comes into play, is trying to figure out the balance between making sure that you're supporting her.
Yeah.
And then also making sure that you get the best out of her.
Too. Yes.
Because that's what you're really trying to do. You're just trying to make sure.
And see, my issue is I have that coaching mentality. So I'm very hardcore. And instead of being that mom, I'm sometimes that coach, and I have to try to balance.
Yeah.
And figure out when I have to be that coach and when I have to be that mom. And I'm finding out more that I have to be the mom and not the coach. And that's very difficult for me.
No, that's fair. I could see that. Like, especially for me, I coached for 11 years wrestling,
mm-hmm.
from the biddies all the way up to, I was a varsity head coach at one point. And that's why I've kind of almost said, like, I'll never want to coach my kids in a sport, just because.
Very hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, you're going to be harder on them. Regardless, I'm sure that you probably have participated.
I started at fourth grade and I think I ruined her.
Well, and that's the issue. Like, you see it happen so often. I just saw it from other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, I'm like a Franken dad. I'm a Franken husband. I find all the stuff that people are doing right and wrong. And I'm like, hey, I want to do that. Hey, I don't want to do that. And I just saw so many guys, like, in the wrestling world especially. Like,
yeah, I could see that.
Vicariously through their kids, like, I didn't get to stay. So it's like, man, just let him be himself or herself. We had a lot of girls coming up. I tell you what, that's like, I love coaching the girls.
The wrestling?
The boys, yes. Uh-huh. We had a bunch of the bitty girls coming up through.
Yeah.
And they were more driven, especially at the bitty level. Like, they're just more attentive. They have more of a servant's heart, so they want to do right for coach. Like, the boys are just...
Yeah, you're right.
Hi, coach.
Girls are more in tune to listen to you and believe in everything that you're saying. Where sometimes I think the guys, like, they feel like they,
yeah,
oh, we can do this.
Well, and then they get up to the puberty age. And we had one girl that she actually went to, they have a girls' state in Ohio now. And
yeah,
she went to girls' state. She won a couple matches down there. She was pretty good. Her brother was a pretty good wrestler for me. And I remember there was a time when it happened, like, the puberty thing happened and she knew everything. And it was like, all right, why are you going to argue with me about
it? It started at 12 with my daughter. So
I miss the days when you were really fun and just told me, yes, go.
You know, it's funny that I want to comment on your living vicariously through your kids. And I don't want to say that I'm trying to do that, but what I'm trying to do is, because I know how athletics shaped me as an individual.
Yes.
And now as I'm in business, and what I want her to learn is you have to learn to fight and struggle. And you're going to lose sometimes. You're going to win. It's the adversity that you have to overcome. And that's why I think I try to push her because I think athletics shaped me and who I am.
No, and I 100% agree. I guess that's the real topic there. Like, because I think we're in the same playing field. You probably weren't, at least for me. I wasn't the most athletic.
Yeah.
I wasn't the most gifted, but I worked my ass off and I did what I was supposed to do. And that's what made me a good athlete.
Right. You had the mentality, you're going to be the best you can be. Nobody's going to tell you different. Nobody
extra work.
Yep. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't beat that person.
Yes.
Because I'm going to beat them.
So how do yet? So that's the real conundrum, right? Like It has nothing to do with the vicariously stuff. Like, we want to be careful with that stuff because we know what it can do. But more than that, like, we know how it shaped us to become successful in our careers. And so how do we get that? That's the real struggle, right?
Believe me, I struggle with it every day. And I just try to tell her, I'm like, Olivia, you don't understand. You have to figure it out. You have to learn how to overcome. You have to, you know, this, I am who I am today because of all the challenges I had in sports. And, you know, you're going to have these challenges and you have to fight through them and you have to figure out how to overcome whatever it is.
Yes.
And it's hard. You know, I'm going through a period right now where she feels every coach hates her. And I'm just like, oh my God. Okay. Well, you can figure that out. Like, why do you think they hate you?
Yeah. Let's talk through it.
Yeah.
Figure out, because there's a dichotomy there.
Yeah.
You know, but with that, like, you want to, that's where the struggle comes as being a successful individual. And then having kids that you want to go through the same trials that you went through. But at the same time, you're like, I also am successful and I work my ass off and I want to provide to my kids the things that I couldn't have too. So it's like, it's a power struggle within ourselves. It's like, do I take it away or do I give them?
Parenting is the hardest job. Okay. It's not my real job. It's the parenting that's the hardest job. So good luck when your daughter gets to be there.
I am dreading the day. And that's where Tori and I have had conversations. Like, we don't want to try to live through her, because my wife is very successful in the horse world. Like, she's still very successful in the horse world. But like, how do we make sure that we're not pushing that on her, or,
you know,
pushing the athletics? Like, I want her to be an athlete, and I'm with you. I think that athletics is super important. I don't care what you do. You're gonna do something, right? You're gonna get the hell out of my house and go do something.
That's
we don't need bums, right? Yeah.
Oh, yes. And I felt the same way, too. But I did fail as a parent because I was so passionate. I wanted her to be a basketball player that in second or third grade, I put her in this Y League with boys and I traumatized her.
Yeah.
And then she hated basketball and didn't want to play it and, you know, was scared. And so in that aspect, I did fail as a parent because I pushed her because it was something that I wanted. So it's a hard balance. It's such a hard balance.
But you're going to screw up your kids. One way or another, you're going to. I had a Navy SEAL tell me that. I've said that on almost every episode we recorded. Like, you're going to screw up your kids. You just don't know how.
But you know what? My parents didn't screw me up.
No, but there was something that happened. You know,
I don't know.
Because, like, it happens in a lot of it happens in our developmental, if you do the studies on it.
Yeah.
It happens, like, in the very, very early years. And it may not have been anything, like, majorly traumatic. Like, you didn't have to have anything traumatic happen to you. It could have been as minute as, like, your dad accidentally stepped on your toe, you know, when and that trauma, for whatever reason, you don't know why, you know.
I'd like to believe, though, I just.
You had a good childhood.
I think my parents, I am who I am today because of my parents. They shaped me to be a hardworking, to be a fighter, to not give up. You know, you're going to have days where life sucks, but you got to get through it.
And what it is, right?
But I have to say, I mean, my parents shaped who I am today. So I give them a lot of credit.
That's awesome. Well, on that same note, like I told you, you know, before the podcast, I wanted to talk about it. You got into the insurance world because of your dad?
Yeah,
I don't want that story because...
He actually went to school to be a geologist, but really? But they wanted him to go to Saudi Arabia or something. And my mom was like, no, we're not doing that. So he ended up getting into the financial aspect of... you know, insurance and things like that. And then he, in, I don't know, 1980 or something, 1984, opened his own property and casualty agency, and he became a farmer's insurance agent. So he was, we call those your captive agencies. So he did that for 30 some years. and then decided to go out to the independent side. And that's when I kind of came on board. And I started working with him when I was in college.
Awesome.
And I have a master's degree in undergrad in education. So
I have an undergrad in education.
And coaching was my passion. So I was coaching at the same time I was working with him. My degree is in phys ed. Now, my master's is in educational administration, but my undergrad's in phys ed because I love sports. So you couldn't find a job because those positions, those individuals stay there for 60, 75 years. So I was just like, well, I might as well work for him, you know, because I was an athlete. I had the drive. I had the competitiveness. I didn't like to fail. Yeah. So I was good at it. I had no sales training. I mean, to this day, I fly by the seat of my pants, I feel.
By necessity rather than by training.
I don't like to take no for an answer. I will fight for whatever I need to for my clients, and I don't like to lose. So I worked for him. But then I had a 3-year stint where I left him, was kind of sad, but to try my degree out, and I went to be a teacher for 3 years and
didn't work out, obviously.
It worked out. I loved it. Teaching, there's a lot of...
We've talked about it on this podcast. You can bring it up.
You know,
A lot of it's the kids, in my opinion. The way the kids are being raised today was part of it for me.
Yeah.
You know?
But to me, it was more the teachers.
Well, and then there was a lot of there are more cliques and freaking...
Yeah. I mean, they... I guess from being in the business world for so long and then coming into the teacher realm... I mean, teachers are great. I mean, they suffer through so much, and kids are awful. But I guess they didn't realize the difference between being in the business world versus being in the education world and how well they had it, you know.
I really do.
Yeah, but, you know, I worked with a lot of great teachers. The kids I had were great. They were amazing. But my dad decided to retire, so.
Decision had to be made.
Yeah, so an age...
Yeah, legacy alive.
Yeah, so, you know, the opportunity presented itself, so I made the switch and...
Never look back.
Yeah, never look back. I miss coaching. I did give up coaching when I came back, but now from a lot of coaches I hear that I should be glad I gave it up, so...
Yeah, that was always the nice thing in wrestling. Like when a kid started mouthing off, you're like, hey, man, I'm wrestling you today because nobody can yell at a kid. Like, yeah. Basketball, you can't throw the basketball at the kid's head because, you know, you get in trouble. But I could just go beat up a kid for, you know.
Well, you can make your own lines. We can't call them suicides anymore, but we call them lines. Yeah.
Yeah, there's always a workaround. But yeah, I did the same thing. Like when I got hyper-focused on my business, I'm like, I got to give up coaching. Like it wasn't an easy decision. And I'm glad that I did because it's not that I didn't enjoy it, mm-hmm. didn't enjoy the fruits of my labor, but like the focus is serving two masters, right? It was what I was doing. And I was trying to serve coaching and give it my all. And I was trying to do the business and give it my all. And I was half-assing both.
Yeah.
And I wasn't giving my effort to either one. And not that the program I was running was doing terribly,
mm-hmm.
but it could do a lot better with someone that could give it full attention, you know?
Yeah.
Back to the private, I would say it's the private sector versus the public sector. Like the folks in the private sector really don't know how well they have it versus the public. The public sector doesn't know how well they have it versus the private sector.
Yes. And that's what really, it bothered me because, yeah. You know, I know the struggles that, you know, the private sector goes through on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm not saying teachers don't struggle. I mean, they do have a lot of benefits. And
there's a ton more up. To me, and that's why I was going to go into it. Right? Mm-hmm. Then say,
summer's off, all these holidays off.
I have the opportunity to go work another job if that's
mm-hmm. yeah.
Just like
hell, I was doing it just for the summers off.
Yeah, like, I mean, and that was for me. Like, man, I could spend the summers with my kids, and I could still coach, and it wasn't in my schedule. You know, but like once you get into it, you're like, there's a lot of freaking red tape, and it's a mess. And I'm not saying that like all that's easy. The way that our system's designed is to judge a fish by its ability to fly like an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem with our system. And that's a whole nother freaking topic we can go down. But like, that was part of it for me. I'm like, man, I can't just teach these kids.
Well, the problem is the government's involved.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I'm going to say it. I will say it.
So if it was all private sector.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, a lot of teachers' complaint right now is because their hands are tied and they can't do what they want to do. And that's what's terrible about it. And my sister is actually still in the education field. She's a counselor. And, you know, she struggles with it all the time. You know, they they just, their hands are tied. They can't do what they want to do. And it's just, it's very sad.
It is. And the, that's the thing is like, I think everybody goes in and the road to hell is paved with good intentions, mm-hmm. right? Everybody went in with good intentions, but then what happens is they figure out what kind of a bureaucracy it is. And mm-hmm. there's not the freedom, you know, they think that they can go out and impact lives. And I'm not saying that there aren't teachers that are going above and beyond to impact lives.
No, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot.
But they get caught in a groove, you know, and then boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden they're 40 years later and they're just doing yeah. the same thing over and over again. And that was the boring teachers in high school. The fun ones were the ones that were impacting lives.
Right.
You know, and those are the ones that were going outside of the box. I'm not saying that those either one has a bad intention to mm-hmm. begin with, but unfortunately, our system is not designed yeah. to allow freedom to prosper.
That's the problem. It's the system.
Yeah, it so. Is. And that's part of the reason why I got out. The other reason was after I thought about it, I'm like, man, I'm not going to, God gave me these great gifts. It's not that I can't serve mm-hmm. in that department, but I'm like, I can do so much more if I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah, you see the benefits of being in the private sector versus being in the public. But I do miss it. I miss all the teachers. I miss the kids. I especially miss the kids.
The kid, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of great kids.
And although there was some turds, and that's what
turds,
right?
Yes.
That's how I always put things. Like, with everything, there's always going to be one or two turds in the punch. Mm-hmm. But, like, the punch still isn't bad in that aspect.
Yeah.
For the most part, the kids are bad. It's like when you get on, actually, the phone topic, right? I go up on my phone and I start looking at all the bad that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
That's a 1% of what
right.
the world is.
Right.
You know, it's like if we just go out and have conversations with humans, it's amazing what the magnet.
Yeah. Well, and that's another problem because we're stuck in phones. We're not having conversations with people.
Yeah. We don't know how. We don't know how to interact. Right. But yeah, with that, like all that being said, you know, on the teacher topic, like I think that the ones that are there, the ones that are working hard, the ones that are putting in the effort, like we appreciate those folks.
Yes, definitely.
I don't want to disregard that. It just wasn't for us, right? It's really what it comes down to. And it's a matter of opinion. Mm-hmm. We just saw that there was, you know, we thought the grass was greener. And for us,
yes,
it was.
Yep.
You know? And
yep.
I'm not saying that if we wouldn't have stayed in the teaching field, it could have been great, you know? And I hope, I guess my big thing is like, I hope that our system, our government or, really, I mean, I guess it really starts with the teachers. Like, they decide to start making change. And that's where it really starts, right?
But can they? I mean, I don't know if it's...
We're so legislated into what it is, right?
Right.
But state testing is what we want to mandate everything off of. And we want to go back to statistics. And Dr. John Maxwell literally says it the best. Like, don't send your ducks to Eagle School because they're going to fail every time. That is where I have a massive issue with the system and the testing because... You know, you had an education background. You took all the classes. Not everybody learns the same. So why do we test?
And I was a terrible test taker. Yeah. I failed my 9th grade proficiency test 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. It was math. And I actually went to college and had a dual major in math. But I just think the teachers, I think it's a lost cause. I mean, you have to climb so high on the ladder to even make an impact that where do you start? I mean, and then you just get lost along the way. I mean, I just unfortunately think there's nothing you can do that it's so government ran that it's very sad for me to say that. Because
no, it is. And I guess I always look at it as there is opportunity to make change, but it's a matter of how long it's going to take to make that change happen. Right.
And you have to dedicate your whole life just to that.
Yeah. Someone or a group of people is going to have to. And I'm sure that those people are already out there.
They probably are, yeah.
You know, and it comes back to it has nothing to do with the individuals themselves for the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there isn't crappy teachers out there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, then back to that 1 in 99% rule, right? 99% of them have the right intention.
Yeah, there's a lot of great teachers.
Full disclosure. My little sister's a teacher in Texas. My sister-in-law is a teacher.
Yeah.
And she's in Morrow County. She's a kid. They're both, I can never do the little kids.
I could not either. I
loved them for the 2 hours I got them when we were doing minis.
But I subbed for, I wanted to put forks in my eyes. Yeah. I just could not do it. And I tell everybody that little kids are not for me.
Yeah. And I love little kids. Like,
I love them too.
Them in small doses.
Yeah. Not at 30 in a classroom. No way.
That was always my thing. Like when I was, because I have a high school mathematics degree, the big kids were great. Because mm-hmm. like I could just talk to them like they were adults.
Yeah.
I just be like, dude, quit being an idiot.
Yeah, we're a lot alike. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
high school, junior high. I mean, I taught at the junior high level. And I mean, that was just good enough. But I always related better, like when I was coaching, because I was a JV coach, I always related better to the high school kids. So,
Yeah, that was me too. Like, I feel like I was making more of an impact
when
I was doing it that way.
And it's funny because a lot of my former athletes will message me and say, tell me the impact that I had on them. And that's why you coach.
Yeah, that's really and if you're doing it for yourself because you want to get wins and losses, then you're doing it for the reasons. And honestly, those guys aren't successful, or those gals aren't successful in what I've found. Let's move on to the teacher topic here.
Remember, teachers are great. I love them.
that's not to discredit. I just think that it goes back to the system.
Yeah, it's the system.
But let's move off that topic. Okay. And what is Katie working on? So, like, we talked about, obviously, what you're doing, you know, with the agent, you know, in the insurance world, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about the struggle of being a mom, which is a struggle in and of itself.
Yes.
So what are you super passionate about, like, right now? Do you have a passion project you're working on or something that, like, what's your BHAG, Big Hairy Audacious Goal for the year? Like, do you have something, or maybe in the next 5 years, do you have something that's, you know, standing out to you right now? I like working on this stuff with folks on a
No, you know, and I had a feeling you were going to ask me that question, and I've been trying to think, I'm just really passionate about my daughter, and making sure that I'm giving her everything that she needs to have in life to succeed. And that's my passion right now.
So, I mean, we've already hit on the topic, but why do you think that is, I mean, I can probably guess, and I'm sure most folks can, but I want to hear it from you. Why is that, like, so important to you right now?
Because this is the time in her life where she's very,
she's got a lot of, you can
tell. Yeah, it's the
developmental.
I mean, she's developing. She's sucking all this stuff in that I'm trying to tell her. Pretty soon, she's not. You know, she's gonna be a teenager.
They're extra.
I can make an impact on her life right now. I mean, not to say I'm not gonna make an impact down the road, but I just think that I need to focus on her.
So, would you say that it's strengthening that relationship for you two to make sure that because. Somebody just said, it might not have been, I just heard it. First, I'm going to be your parent, then I can be your friend.
Right? I tell her that all the time. Yeah. I am your parent first. When you go to college and graduate, then I will be your friend. Yeah. Until then, I'm here to make sure that you learn and I teach you. And when you make mistakes, that we deal with them and move on.
And sure, there's consequences for action.
Oh, there's always consequences. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's really, we go back to that topic of, like, that's where we learned all those lessons, those hard lessons. Like, there was a cost, good or bad, right? Positive or negative impact.
You know, I think the biggest thing with parents nowadays is they don't instill fear. And, you know, that's a hot topic. Well, we don't want our kids to be afraid of us. Well, you know what? I was afraid of my parents. I was afraid to make mistakes. I was afraid to get into trouble. Which caused me to make better decisions. Yes. And I respect my parents to this day because of that.
Well, and you just hit on what the really important thing is. And I think that's where the fine line is, is between that fear and the respect, right? Like, I don't ever want my kids to think that I'm just going to beat their ass and that's going to be...
All right.
Like, I want them to respect me enough, and I want them to have a good enough relationship with me, or if not me, their mother, because that's...
Right, right.
Beauty, right? You get two choices.
Right.
You get to talk to two people. But I want to be able to... Well, then all of our kids to be able to respect us enough to go to dad or mom and go, hey, this is going on. How do we fix it? Like, because I agree with you. It was a respect thing. Like, I was never the kid that drank in high school, but if I was ever at a party and I would have got drunk, I would have had no problem calling my parents because they instilled that in me that it was okay. Like, we'll deal with the consequences because there's going to be some, and
right,
we'll be disappointed in you. But that disappointment was more to me than getting my ass beat.
Right? That was the key. I think it's me making sure she understands that, you know, you can have fear, but it's going to be more, I'm going to be disappointed. And that's what I want her to understand.
Yeah, and that's the respect thing.
Yes.
And that's what really is missing, I feel like, is the respect. We just don't have it. Like, you see it constantly, and you hear people bitch about the generation that's, you know, the millennials, Gen Z, or whatever they're talking about. And a lot of times it's boomers. They're talking about, like, well, they just don't respect. And that's what it really comes down to.
100%.
They just don't respect.
100%. No.
They don't respect themselves. That's really where it comes from, right?
Well, and that's social media.
Yes.
They have no self-esteem.
No, because they're worried about what Jennifer saying about
Billy. Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that they'll have 100 positive comments and they're worried about that freaking one negative. Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's so funny. Like, my daughter's done it. Like, she's texts me in the middle of the day that she's upset and she wants to come home because somebody did something to her. And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not coming to get you. Like, deal with it. Suck it up. Yep. Move past it. Learn. I mean, like, we don't. And that's the problem. Like, kids can just text their parents and then parents just go get them out of school. Like, what are you teaching your kid? You're not teaching them to handle diversity or anything like that and deal with the problem.
Katie didn't teach her that behavior. She learned that from one of her friends.
Right.
So somebody at school that, hey, I can text mom and mom will come get me. And
right.
I'll get out of this bad situation that I feel like I'm in.
Yeah. And there it's avoidance. And I said, what's going to happen down the road when you're in a job and you get dealt with the same situation? You're going to go home?
Yeah.
Like, no, that doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You have to learn how to deal with the issue at hand.
And that's the real kicker is like teaching them to go into adversity, face on. Have you ever heard the illustration about the buffalo and the cow?
No.
So if you ever. This is like a study, but if you're ever out in the plains and a storm is coming, cows will run away from it and buffaloes will run into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make buffaloes because we want to run into the storm.
Right.
Because what happens when we run into the storm? If we outrun the storm, we're going to be in the storm for longer. If we run into the storm, then we get to be in the storm for a
I like that. That's an
illustration that's come up.
I'm going to use that with my daughter.
Yeah. So
because the longer you run away from it, the more avoidance there is and the more problems you're creating.
Yes. Yes, because you're just going to get rained on for longer.
Yeah.
The cows get rained off. Are you a buffalo or a cow? It's the whole illustration. So that was something I don't know who.
I love that.
But I know I have a couple buddies that have taken a hold of it and put it into their podcast and stuff. I know one guy called it the Buffalo Podcast or something like that. But like. Mm-hmm. He wants to, but if we could teach our kids how to be buffalo, how to hit it head on, how to be type A personalities and just go after what they need to go after in those circumstances, then that's a game changer.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. 100%.
And did your daughter grasp on the illustrations pretty well? Like, I feel like a lot of people can, if you put it in the right context, like we just go to them and say, hey, go face your problems. They're like, okay. Yeah. Sure, mom. Like if you're
right.
So that's cool. I'm glad you're able to use
that. Yeah. No, I like that. Thank you. I will be using that.
Yeah. So like
today when I go home with my daughter,
head on. And I mean, we'll use it around here at the business. Like if somebody has to get let go, like the longer we let it go on, the more problems they're going to cause and havoc they're going to cause in the process versus if we go straight at it and go, hey, look, it's not working out.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. It's done. The storm's over.
Right.
You deal with a little bit of aftermath and then clean up and it's done.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so that was one of the probably my favorite things that I've heard as far as an illustration goes this year. That
I think it should be on a shirt.
So maybe
you should put it on your
shirt. Maybe we'll put it on some shirts here. Maybe we'll use that for the Y.
Yeah.
I need to get some Y shirts made up.
Yeah.
So back to the AAU topic, because I know this is going to come up and this is me being selfish. How have you dealt with what struggles have you seen with those types of situations? With those types, because it's I don't want to say this wrong. It tends to be, and this is the 1%, right? But you tend to hear about the 1% of the kids that are buttheads, so to speak. Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, how do you deal with those, and not making sure your daughter brings that home?
Because she knows damn well that she should not bring that home. That's how I've raised her. But
yeah,
I mean, I think you're always going to have buttheads in life.
Yeah. I was using that because it's a, something that you're pretty familiar with, I guess.
I mean, we've had to deal with that a lot in this past year and a half with a sport. And it's just learning that sometimes you're going to have people like that. And you either just have to look at them and say, you know, I'm not going to be part of that. And I'm not going to act like that and walk away. But it's very hard. Very hard, especially at this age and with girls. So be prepared.
I don't want to say there was no disappointment, like a healthy baby. I was like, man, I don't know if I know 100% how to deal with a little girl. Like
the thing with girls is, And it's very hard for me because I was not like this. I unfortunately was probably your tomboy. Okay. I didn't let crap bother me. I didn't let people talking about me bother me. But when you get into junior high, girls just, they are brutal. And I've always, and my daughter's been bullied. And I'm going to be honest with you, and this is probably going to sound bad to some people, but I'm not a big, I don't really know if I believe in bullying. I think there is a very severe end of it, but I just think kids are mean.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's a bullying. I think we just need to teach our kids how to react to it and not let it bother us. Like, if that person's being mean with you, just say, I don't know why you're acting like that, and walk away. Like, yeah. throw it back to them, yeah, and make them look stupid. I mean, that's the problem. These kids that are being mean, nobody's strong enough to just stand up to them and say, I'm not dealing with this crap. And that's how I was as a kid. And nobody messed with me because they knew that, yeah, Katie's not going to deal with our shit. And I wasn't. I'm just like, I don't have time for this. Like, I have other bigger, better things to be doing. And I just struggle with that. And I know that's going to sound really bad.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's one of those things, just like a lot of stuff anymore. We've overused the term so much that it's watered it down in its severity. Because I don't want to say that I 100% agree, because I do think there are instances where it's severe. Right?
Yes, and I do agree with you.
Yeah, and you did say that, but I do think that, like, we take everything,
yes,
and put it into bullying.
Yes,
because we could say it's harassment. Like, broaden your freaking vocabulary, people. That's
right.
Stuff, right? Like, they could just be harassing them or picking on them. Like, that term's never used anymore.
Yes, it's in most, to me, I think it's more people just picking on kids.
Yes,
but we're classifying it as bullying, and I don't think it is.
Yeah, and if I go to you and I'm like, I don't like your hair, that's not bullying. But that our society has watered it down,
right,
so much, and that's where the term loses its, you know, to me, bullying was like beating the crap out of the kids and getting jumped.
Yeah,
and
having bullying, your money taken, and yeah.
Bullying. I would agree in that aspect.
But I do think that the mental state of our kids is not as good as it used to be. And I think it has to comes down to what I keep saying in this podcast, social media. And obviously the seclusion of COVID did not help. So
we forget about that, like, because everyone lived through it. And it's like that thing that our kids as kids will look back and 80 years and be like, holy shit, how did they do that?
Right.
You know, because it is crazy that even happened. We're still seeing the repercussions.
Yeah.
Especially for those little kids that were, you know, because your daughter was probably, she's been like 7, 8.
Yeah, I think she was in 4th and 5th grade. Yeah, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, that is terrible because she can't see her friends.
Right.
She doesn't have a phone because her mom's,
yeah,
mom's not letting her out.
Yeah, she didn't have a phone. So. Yeah. But going back to the kids that are, who think they're all that and are mean in AAU, you know, when I was a kid, I just used that as drive.
Correct. It's
and
the Jordan complex, right?
Yes. And I think that's what kids nowadays in sports lack. And, you know, I think parents get caught up in that. Whereas, you know, my daughter's come home and said, you know, this person is that. I'm like, so what? Be better than that person. Who cares what they say?
They're worried about everyone else. And that completes
the
social media thing 100%. In the world.
I know. I feel like all we've talked about is social media.
I know. And we don't want to dog on it because it is a valuable tool.
It is.
Because you connect with people that you never would connect with otherwise and build your own persona. And there's a lot of business positives to it. There's a lot of social positives.
There, yes. But whatever happened to just picking up the phone and calling people?
I know. Like, folks just love texting. Like, we're integrating all the texting into our business now. So, like,
you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
I mean, and that's what, like, too often we don't look at it in the world in general, like from the way the world's lens looks, we look at it from our lens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do in business a lot of times is go, how does society
right,
act for that stuff? I guess that's like kind of my thing. And I leave that to like just people in general. How do we undo what social media has done to our kids, right? Like, we don't have an answer. We've kind of already beat around that bush, right? There's not a be all end all, unfortunately. Well, like, how do we do that? Like, there's got to be a way to live with it, but also
I just think setting parameters and setting limits.
Hours,
I mean, I know as a parent, like the Snapchat, I will not let my daughter have it. I think something that disappears within 3 seconds is nothing but terrible bad news.
It is.
I mean, whatever you say in Snapchat, you can say in a text message.
Yep.
So I, you know, it's just setting the parameters and being okay with your daughter not having it when other, being okay with your kid not having it when other kids have it, you know, being able to handle the pressure. And as a parent, that's what's hard, being able to handle the pressure and the pressure from your own kid and being strong enough to deal with it.
That's what it really comes down to, because we don't feel the pressure as parents from the rest of the kids.
Right.
It's from what our kids feeling.
Right.
And being in tune with their emotions and then being able to navigate that with them.
Yes.
Right. And that's where parents, I want to say fail, because that's not the right term, but drop the ball or give up on their own boundaries. You know, like everybody.
Well, so it's a hard battle. I mean, you're constantly fighting it, and sometimes you just get tired. I mean.
And you're going to get tired as a parent.
I mean, and then you say that's never going to happen, but then it does happen, and you have to kind of, you know, you have to readjust how you're thinking and your thought process. You know, just like with me with the phone, like I had to justify it in another way to give it to her.
For yourself.
Yeah.
Because you set your boundaries. You're
right.
A salesperson. You're like, I'm not waiting on this damn thing. I'm good at salesperson.
She is pretty good. I'm telling you, she might be a salesperson when she grows up.
And I hope she is. I think the world needs more salespeople, great salespeople.
Yeah.
That's the real, like, we've all, Tori and I have both said, like, we're not going to be iPad parents. But like my brother and his wife, they had a little, they'll be one next month. They'll be one by the time this comes out. And they said the same thing. The fruit's easier to put them in front. The dancing fruit's easier to put them in front of. And you'd listen to them cry sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's where we compromise. That's the word I was looking for.
Yes, compromise.
We compromise with our own values too easily, because it's we want the easier route. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, because it's what society has trained us to do. But we have to do a better job of combating it to make sure that our morals are met.
Yeah.
Our values are.
And it's very difficult.
And it is.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And nothing worthwhile is. You know? That's what we also have to remember.
And that's very true.
Is that nothing worthwhile?
Success does not come easy.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, the real key in the topic of this thing is, like, just stay and stir with your values. And then when you do compromise, like, realize, go back to that when we talk about how we teach our kids that there's a consequence for our actions. Realize we have our own consequence that happens. And that's really how we start navigating that to do better. Really just in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it comes back to the teacher topic. They were compromised. They compromised at one point and didn't stay stern in their own values.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's how that got skewed. So that's maybe how we make that change there. Right?
True. Yeah.
But one small, when I realize I make a compromise and I'm going to be stern in my actions, that I realize the consequence of that action and I do something to flip it.
Yeah.
And change it.
That's a very good outlook to have. Yeah.
And that's really the outlook we should have on really everything.
Yeah. You're right.
It's hard.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah, it's hard. And it comes back to that. Like, everything worth doing is easy, is hard. Like, you know, all the trials, you've been through a lot of trials and
pains. Yeah.
But those uphill battles, like, I enjoyed the journey more than I enjoyed the peak.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the valley more than I enjoyed the peak, more than I thought. Like, in the moment, you're like, dude, this is terrible. Like, am I ever going to get out of this thing?
Yeah.
Like, that was so rewarding.
Yes.
I could do it. All the other stuff that comes with it. So I think these were some good topics. I really do.
I hope so. You're very inspirational to me. I have to say that ever since I met you, I knew you were somebody that I was going to, you know, keep close to in my life, because I just think you're a great guy.
I really do. And here's like the third person that's done that. This is not a promote dealer podcast. I want.
No, I know it's not. But I just want to say, I think you're an amazing guy. I think where you've come from and how you've built your business is amazing. And I just, you know, I'm proud to say that I know you and I'm friends with you. And so
you service us too. We're one of your customers.
I don't like to brag about that stuff. So
no, but it's important to know. I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's all about networking.
Yeah.
Life in general. Like, take out the business. Like, when I go to church, I'm there to network. I'm there to find people that have like mine that are doing the same things that I'm doing. When I go, you know, I'm leaving tonight for, I'm literally walking out of this podcast and going to a retreat. I'm not going there to make myself feel better. I'm going there to build relationships and find people that I can help. Ed Milet says it the best. When he gets to the end of his life, he thinks that God's going to show him an ultimate version of himself. And he wants that guy to look at him and go, you almost got me. And that's the way I try to live my life. Yeah. And I think that if we all lived our lives that way, the world would be a hell of a lot better place.
I agree.
And that's I guess why I say that is because that's where I'm trying to live. So I appreciate your kind words. I really do. And I know we're going to continue to be friends through this and all this good stuff. Last little bit of the podcast, I always like to open it up. If there's anything that you would like to share, that you haven't already, you're more than welcome to.
I'm probably going to pass.
That's fine.
I'm not one to talk about myself. So I just,
yeah, just in general, like, you know, but we always like to open up the floor.
I really don't have much to say. I mean,
I really do. If you got to the end of this and you didn't get any value, let us know in the comments so that way we can know to do better next time I have Katie on.
No, I think this is great.
No, I really do. I think that there was good value in here, little nuggets along the way. That's all we're trying to do.
I think it highlights who I am as a person.
And that's yours.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of people. I struggle because I'm so set in my morals and values. And, you know, I have such high values that I struggle with, you know, finding people that are just like me. So
that's awesome. I have one more question for you that just came to the top of my head. Okay.
Do we have enough time?
You do. If not, we'll cut it. I do have one more question. Do you feel like that when you had your daughter, you leveled up on your drive? Like, did it change you in that aspect? Do you feel like you had a newfound purpose, I guess, is my question with that? Because that's been the topic of discussion. And the whole purpose of the podcast is to find out folks' purpose. And I think we've hit that nail pretty hard. But I want you to kind of reflect back on that and just...
I don't think in the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because you're just a new parent, you're not really. But as she's gotten older, I've realized, you know, my career, I have to be successful and have drive for her to show her what drive and success is all about. I mean, so I guess, does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah. That would answer perfectly. Like, it may not have happened. There's no instant gratification with it. And, like, I was just talking, I think the last episode with Dr. Nate, we were talking about, like, they just send you home with a brand new baby and they're like, figure it out. Like, that's scary.
Very scary. Trust me. Wait till you experience it. I think once they start to come into their own and develop and have a personality, you start to realize, you know.
It's bigger than me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about them now.
Yeah.
And I honestly think. I'm not taking anything away from the father, but I think the mother just has a different, their connection and what their thoughts and process is different than a father.
No, and I think that that's super unique that there's two unique roles.
Right? Yeah.
Like, and that's the beauty. You get to have you and Tori, mm-hmm. you guys get to have a different connection with your daughters that I'm going to get to have with my daughter.
Right.
Which is okay.
And you're going to have a different connection than Tori gets to have. And that's what's special about it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's what's great. That's what's really great about parenthood and that whole journey. Because that's what it is. It's a journey. It's not a job, too. It's a full-time job, right?
It's a full-time job, Dylan.
And you're doing great. I want to compliment you.
No, thank you.
I can tell your daughter that a few times I got to interact with her when we were replacing your roof and stuff. She's a very respectful young lady. You're doing a great job as a mom. Probably don't hear it enough.
You don't, you know, as a mom, you don't really hear that enough. You hear it from, you know, your mom, you know, but you don't hear it enough from other people, which, you know, I don't expect to, but I appreciate those comments.
Yeah. And I found that that's something that's super important too, is just let folks know they're doing a great job, you know, and kudos to you for what you've done in your career and what you're going to continue to do. You're only getting started. So you got some big goals. They may come after your daughter leaves the house. Because mm-hmm. you know, you're in a season in your life where that's the important part. But I know when you, I have a good feeling that your legacy, well, I guess your legacy is part of your dad's legacy, as we talked about. And it's going to continue to live on past that because you're doing the right things now.
Thank you.
So kudos to you.
Thank you. So, well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We'll close it out there. We'll drop Katie's socials down below. If you want to reach out to her, you're more than welcome to. She might not want you to.
I do.
But if you know anybody that would be a good fit here for the podcast, we'll be more than happy to have them on. And continue to work for your purpose, as we talked about today. Continue to instill your purpose inside of your kids. That's something that I think is really important. And more than anything, we want to continue to ask you guys, what's your why?